Turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14. And last week we went over the first part, or part one, I guess, of verse 25 and 26. And we'll go ahead and start there again today and read it again. John 14, 25 through 26 says, "These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I said to you." Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day, and we thank you we could gather here today and meet around your table to encourage one another. Father, we thank you for your Spirit who helps us and teaches us and guides us, Father. Father, we thank you for your concern for us, that you are willing to do that, Father, that you are a loving God. We thank you so much for that. In Jesus' name, amen. So we know from last week and even times before that God is a compassionate God. He's not like a lot of the pagan gods that will, which aren't gods at all, but people will have and they'll worship. He's not one he requires respect and honor and worship, but he does not do it and make you, he doesn't make you do it. But he also is compassionate, where as you have some pagan gods that you have sacrificed to them enough so they don't strike you down when they find out. And that's not the type of God that the God of the Bible is. Okay, the God of the Bible desires to help us, desires to teach us, desires to be with us and provide a way that we're successful. It's not that he's not the type of God that is hoping or that we hope that we can appease enough that he will allow us to come into heaven. He's the one that desires to help us get there. And so one of those ways he does that, is the Word of God and the Spirit. But we're going to talk about the Spirit today, about how the Spirit is teaching us and the Spirit is bringing things to remembrance, as it says in verse 26 there. And now last week when we looked at that and we had some, we went through some of the names of the Spirit, and one of them was the Wonderful Counselor. And we got that back from the Old Testament, Isaiah chapter 9. He is the Wonderful Counselor. So he's a counselor. He's one that helps. That word helper, parakletos, is one call alongside to aid. That's what that word means. He's a helper. He's an advocate. He is desiring to help us. He is there as an advocate for us, for our benefit. So he helps us, as we mentioned last time, he helps us through the Spirit. Yes, he helps us through the Word, and we'll touch on that a little bit today too. But how God counsels us and the way that he stands with us, as in Paul's case, we went in 2 Timothy chapter 4 last time, and it says, "Everyone abandoned him, but the Lord stood with me." Well, how does he do that? He does that through the Holy Spirit. That's how the Lord stands with us, is through the Holy Spirit, and he helps us and comforts us and guides us. But he also, he teaches us, as in verse 26, he teaches us and helps us to remember. And the question we asked last week, and we didn't fully answer it because we're going to answer it this week, is how does he do that? How specifically does the Holy Spirit teach us, and how does he bring to remembrance the things that we have learned in the past in certain times, as in the case here with the apostles? He says he'll bring to remembrance all that he said to him, all he said to them. First, let's go to Titus chapter 3. Titus chapter 3. So it might seem like a little bit out of the ordinary to go here, but we're going to go a couple passages first. And we got to understand, okay, if we're saying that the Holy Spirit can teach us, and we're saying that the Holy Spirit brings things to remembrance, we need to have the correct understanding of how he does that. But we also need to have some understanding of some other things that he does so that we can understand how can he help us and how can he teach us. So in verse 5 of Titus chapter 3, it says, he saved us not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So we see here that Titus is writing here, Paul's writing to Titus, I mean, that in Titus 3, do we have the Holy Spirit through Christ? It says he's poured out upon us. The Holy Spirit has been poured out richly through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So because we're in Christ, we have the Holy Spirit. Okay, so that's where we're at here. So what does he do for the Christian then in that sense? What does he do in the context of Titus chapter 3 here is that he says he renews, we have a washing of regeneration, but we are renewed by the Holy Spirit. So the washing of regeneration is reference to our immersions into Christ. We are coming into Christ through immersion, and we are also saved through the renewing of the Holy Spirit. And he says in verse 7, so that being justified by grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. So the renewing of the Holy Spirit is something that we have, or that it needs to continue to happen to us, or we need to allow him to do. Again, it's a helper. God doesn't force his will upon us, but we allow him to do in order to have the hope of eternal life. So the renewing of the Holy Spirit is eternally important. Because if that does not happen, we do not have eternal life. So what is the renewing of the Holy Spirit? Let's turn to Romans chapter 12. How does he renew us? Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Paul writing here again, and he says, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. So the renewing of the mind, when the Holy Spirit renews us, and Paul says here, as he says in Titus, that he renews us, and here he says we need to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. In order to be transformed, in order to not live according to the world, we need to be renewed in our mind. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4. Verse 20, we'll start. Now, Paul writing here again, and he is warning the church in Ephesus here to not walk according to the way of the Gentiles in those things where those sins and that their minds are darkened and they're excluded from God. But he says in verse 20, he says, but you did not learn Christ in this way. If indeed you have heard him and have been taught in him, just as truth is in Jesus, that in reference to your former manner of life, you lay aside the old self, which is being corrupted in accordance with the lust of deceit, and that you be renewed in the spirit of your mind and put on the new self in the likeness of God, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness and truth. So we are to be renewed in the spirit of our mind, to be a new creation or a new person, to lay aside the old self. Now, you might say, well, what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit teaching us? And what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit bringing things to remembrance that we have heard before, that we've been taught before? And the what we're looking at here is that how are we renewed? We know that we must be renewed. And we know that we're renewed in our mind. We're not transformed. In order not to be transformed to the world, we are to be renewed in our mind. Well, renewing, done by the Holy Spirit, is renewing of our mind by the Holy Spirit. We talked about in Titus chapter 3, when Paul writes there, is that we've been saved by the washing of regeneration. Yeah, we've been immersed into Christ. We had our sins forgiven. We have the Holy Spirit. That must happen. But if we don't change from the old self to be the new self, then we're not saved. Then we're going to cease to be saved. So the renewing of the Holy Spirit is important. And if the Holy Spirit can work with our mind and help us be renewed in that, then the Holy Spirit can help, obviously teaches us then too in our mind, doesn't he? If he renews us in our mind, he has the ability to teach us, and he has the ability to bring things to remembrance. Now, remember, in the correct context, we'll kind of get to that here in a second. So he can help teach us, and he can help bring things to remembrance because God is powerful, and God doesn't do it against our will. And obviously we also, and when we're talking about renewing, it's not just because the Holy Spirit says it. We have to have our willingness to be renewed and allow him to work in us as well. So on the context of him teaching us and him bringing things to remembrance, let's turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14, it says, "For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For you have not received a spirit of slavery leading to fear again, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons, by which we cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are children of God." Now, there's probably a couple times that in there, the spirit should be capitalized when we talk about when we have not received a spirit of slavery. When we ask the spirit of slavery, we receive a spirit of adoption as sons. We are adopted as sons because we have the Holy Spirit indwelling us. But notice what he says there is he says that those who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. We are being led by the Spirit of God. Well, how does he do that? Well, he teaches us, he testifies with our spirit that we're children of God, but he teaches us, we don't have a spirit leading to fear again. We have a spirit of adoption as sons. He's reminding us that we are adoption of sons. He is testifying that we are children of God, but he leads us. If we are not led by the Spirit of God, we are not sons of God. Turn over to John chapter 16. John chapter 16. Now, John writes here in verse 13, he says, and actually, I'm going to back up a little bit into verse 5 or verse 7, and talking about the Spirit here, he says, "But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come, but if I go, I will send him to you, and when he comes, he will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. Concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer see me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of the world has been judged. But I have many more things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own initiative. But whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of mine and will disclose it to you. All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, I said that he takes of mine and will disclose it to you." Okay, so looking at here, when we talk about the Holy Spirit, he says to our advantage that he goes away. So what advantage does the Christian here, obviously they were Jews still at this time, but he's telling the apostles, hey, it's your advantage that he goes, that I go away. Because if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. And we talked about that before in chapter 14, where we talked about the helper coming. It's his, our advantage, because Jesus, when he was humbled himself and took the form of a man, could only be certain places at certain times as being bound in a fleshly body. The Spirit of God in bodily form could only be a certain place at a certain time. But the Spirit of God in spirit form can be multiple places at the same time. He can indwell any Christian. So what's the purpose of that? Why is that an advantage to us? Why wouldn't it be just better for Jesus just to be here and teach us and talk to us, just stay on earth forever, be immortal? Why is it an advantage to us if he goes away? What advantage is there different than what he had when he was on earth? What advantage, and here's the question, then, what advantage is it if it's only the scripture that the Holy Spirit is only the scripture? What advantage is it if it's only the Word of God that we need? Now, I'm not downplaying the Word of God. I am just saying that God works through the Word, but the Spirit is one who teaches and helps and brings things to remembrance. Because there's no advantage, there's no greater advantage. Why didn't Jesus just stay here? I mean, he was on earth after he died. He had the sacrifice. Why didn't he just stay here? Because there was a greater advantage by him ascending into heaven so the Holy Spirit could come back and indwell the Christian and teach the Christian and bring things to remembrance and help with the character. Now, notice what he says in verse 13 through 15. He says he will guide you into all the truth. And then in verse 13, he says, for he will not speak on his own initiative, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will disclose to you what is to come. And he emphasizes that in verse 14 and 15 as well. The Holy Spirit does not work against the Word of God, and he does not add anything to the Word of God. He's not change anything. See, and that's where people have taken it too far, and they have made the Holy Spirit say things extra. Well, he doesn't say anything. They didn't make him do anything, but they claim the Holy Spirit has told them other things or extra things outside of the scripture. Because he says here, Jesus says here, that he will not speak on his own initiative. The Holy Spirit doesn't go and speak things different than and contrary to what the scripture says. He takes from what Jesus already has taught and teaches and brings us into truth and helps us there. He doesn't add anything else to it. Go to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1. Galatians 1, starting verse 6. Paul writing here again, he says, I am amazed that you are so quickly deserting him who called you by the grace of Christ for a different gospel. Now, just to point out here, if you read through the book of Galatians, it is not a different gospel in the sense of a different type of religion. It is simply a different version, so-called version of the true gospel. It's still a different gospel, but it's just a different form and some things added to it that was not given. It's not like it's Buddhism or Islam or whatever else. That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about changing the gospel, the true gospel, into their own traditions and fitting to what they wanted to say. Something extra, something different, something a little different, not completely different, still about Jesus, but something different. So in verse seven, he says, which is really not another. Only there are some who are disturbing you. and want to distort the gospel of Christ. So they are distorting the gospel of Christ. And notice what he says, but even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to what we have preached to you, he is to be accursed. As we have said before, so I say it again, if any man is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, he is to be accursed. All the extra biblical revelations and things that people have are different gospels. If they are contrary to what the Scripture says, the Holy Spirit doesn't work contrary to what the Scripture says. He doesn't speak on his own initiative. That's what Jesus just said in John chapter 16. He doesn't speak on his own initiative, but what he has heard. What Jesus said, what God is, what the Father has said, he takes of mine and discloses it to you. He takes the words of me, of mine, he says, he takes my words and he teaches it to you. It's not an extra thing. And that's where people will be like, well, the Holy Spirit said this to me or whatever they say. Well, how does it say that in the Scripture? If it's contrary to what it says in the Scripture, it wasn't the Holy Spirit that said it. If some angel or something says something that people will claim, if it's a different, as and even Paul says, whether it's an angel or whether we say it, he even includes himself. But even if Paul was to preach a different gospel than what they had already heard, he was accursing himself. There's not that the Holy Spirit doesn't work against what the Scripture already has said. The Holy Spirit works with the Scripture to teach us and to bring things to remembrance. Turn to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2. Now, the same writer as the Gospel of John as we're studying through here. This is John's epistle, first epistle of John. Verse 27 of 1 John chapter 2. John writes, as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But as his anointing teaches you about all things, and it is true and not a lie, and just as he has taught you, you abide in him. I might have put the correct word in there, because the word it should be translated he, because you're talking about the anointing of God. What anointing abides in us? The Holy Spirit is who abides in us. The Holy Spirit is who indwells the Christian. The anointing that we have, remember when Jesus was immersed? Okay, he wasn't immersed because he had sin. He wasn't immersed because of anything. He was immersed, there's obviously some symbolic reasons he was immersed. But he was immersed, and he came up out of the water, and the Holy Spirit came upon him in the form of a dove. Okay? And that was the anointing, that was his anointing and starting forth in his ministry. That was the beginning of his ministry. Okay? The Holy Spirit is our anointing that teaches us, that abides in us. He says, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, and you have no need for anyone to teach you. But he teaches us. Then his anointing teaches us. The Holy Spirit teaches us. Turn to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 15. It says, and the Holy Spirit also testifies to us, for after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law upon their heart, and on their mind I will write them. And he continues on, I'll remember the lawless deeds no more. So first off, if you think of those who he remembers, the lawless deeds in verse 17, and their sins and their lawless deeds I remember no more. those who have forgiveness are the ones he is talking about here. This is not a blanket statement for everyone that is born after Jesus died, buried, and was resurrected. Okay, that when God talks about in Jeremiah chapter 31, which this is quoted from, when he talks about that and writing his words on our hearts and on our minds, he is not talking about everybody who is created after Jesus died. He wasn't talking about everybody who was created after Jesus died. He is talking about the church. He is talking about those whom he has the covenant with. God doesn't have a covenant with those who are outside of Christ. He has a covenant only with those who are inside of Christ. Only those who have the anointing. Only those who have the Holy Spirit. Romans chapter 8 makes that clear. We don't belong to him if we don't have his Spirit within us. He only has a covenant with us. So when he says there, I will put my laws on their hearts and on their mind, I will write them. How does that happen? That happens through the Holy Spirit's work. Now, our willingness has to be there. It's not just because we read the words of God and we put them. I mean, that's part of it, yes. There's a lot of people that have read through the Bible that don't have the Holy Spirit within them. That doesn't, just because you read through the Bible does not mean you have the Holy Spirit within them. And then you could say on the other side is that, well, man, if I don't have a good memory and I can't remember things, well, I must not have the Holy Spirit then. And that's not true either. That's because that's putting the reliability specifically on something that I can read. And that makes this book a dead book. You know, what is the word of God? The word of God is living and active and sharper than a two-edged sword. Okay, if there is stuff that I can read just because I'm reading, with normal books, you get information by reading that stuff. And obviously there's memory and everything, but the word of God is working with our character. And yes, it is through the word. The Holy Spirit does not work against the word of God. He works with his own word. That'd be like me saying something and then doing work against what I'm saying. The Holy Spirit does not speak of things outside of what the Word of God has already established. The Word of God is important. It has to be done within the parameters of the Word of God. But the Holy Spirit teaches us. Our anointing teaches us. It's not any extra biblical revelation that we can get. That's not what he does. He doesn't work that way. All of those guys are cursed. Anybody who teaches and preaches that is accursed. The Holy Spirit writes on our hearts and on our minds because we're willing to learn. We're willing to let him do that. Yes, we are studying the scripture, but he is helping us with that as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "But just as it is written, the things which the eye has not seen, and the ear has not heard, and which have not entered into the heart of man, all that God has prepared for those who love him." So notice what he says. They're kind of going back on the Holy Spirit writing things on our hearts and our minds. They have the things which have not been seen, have not been heard. They have not entered the heart of man. God didn't write them on the heart of man just because he wrote them on the heart of man. He prepared them. He all of that God prepared for those who love him, which would be the church, the saints. That's what God prepared, all those things for those who loved him. Not for the world, but for those who loved him. So he goes on, he says, for verse 10, "For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God." Now, it does not mean that the Word of God was neglected here. Paul's not saying that. But he says he revealed them to us through the Spirit, through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is how we learn those things. those things that have not entered the eyes of men or entered the ears of men, and they have not entered the heart of man. The things are prepared for the church. The Holy Spirit is the ones who is the one who brought those and revealed those to us. Verse 11. For who among men knows the thoughts of man except the spirit of man, which is in him? So nobody knows my thoughts except for my spirit. You can't read my mind. Going on there, verse 12. Continuing in verse 11, it says, even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. Okay, so the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God, just like the thoughts of my thoughts no one knows except my Spirit. Okay, verse 12, for we received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may know the things freely given to us by God, which things we also speak, not words taught by human wisdom, but those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. When we look at that there, we'll continue in a second here, but we have not received just a random spirit. We have not received just a random spirit. Feels better to stand up here now. We've not received a random spirit of the world just randomly learning. We have received the Spirit from God. And so then, we are taught not the words by human wisdom. That's what, if we were just to read the Scripture and it was how much I could comprehend in the Scripture, then it would be taught by human wisdom. But it says, not by taught in humans, but those taught by the Spirit. Now, the Word of God is important. Again, I'm going to emphasize this very strongly. The Word of God is important. The Spirit does not work outside of the Word of God. But just by reading the Scripture, a lot of people just read the Scripture, but they don't have any learning. They're not being taught by the Spirit. They're not understanding things. Now, just because you don't understand things that at one spot of Scripture doesn't mean you don't have the Holy Spirit, but we need to understand that the Holy Spirit is working and growing and helping us grow and teaching us, and that takes time at times. Verse 14. I'll just emphasize verse 13. It's the Spirit combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Okay? So the words of the Scripture are combined with the spiritual thoughts or the teaching of the Spirit. Okay? Verse 14. But the natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who knows the mind of the Lord that he will instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ, or the Spirit of Christ. In verse 16, there, when we says who knows the mind of the Lord that he can instruct him, remember we said prior to that that who knows the thoughts of God? Paul says, who knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God? And we have the mind of God or of Christ or of the Spirit, not to instruct God, but to know what his thoughts are. The Spirit is teaching and disclosing those things to us, not outside of the Word of God, but working with the Word of God. If it was just, you're looking at this way as well, if it was simply the Word of God that helped somebody and achieve salvation, then there would be no need for the Holy Spirit or the New Covenant. Because what Scripture did the New Testament Christians refer to? They didn't have Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and all the New Testament when they were preaching. They had the Old Testament Scriptures, and that's the Scripture that they preached from. So the things that God has said and set up in the New Testament under the New Covenant were written about in the Old Testament, but they didn't understand it. If they would have understood it, then they wouldn't have killed. That's actually, I think it says that right before that in verse 6 of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, we do not speak a wisdom among those who are mature, a wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age, who are passing away. But we speak a wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages for our glory, the wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. If they would have understood God's wisdom in the pages of the Old Testament, they wouldn't have crucified Jesus. Now, you could probably say in this stance here that these people are the wicked and they wouldn't have crucified Jesus because then it would have carried out God's plan. But on the other hand, is that the people, if they would have known, if without the help of the Holy Spirit, if it was just the Scripture, then there would be no need for the Holy Spirit, there would be no need for the New Testament, because everything was already in the Old Testament. Now, I'm not saying that there's not clarifications in the New Testament, and the New Testament reveals what the Old Testament wrote down, but they wouldn't have crucified the Lord if they would have understood. Just having the words of Scripture does not make you spiritually sound. But being taught by the Holy Spirit within the parameters of the Scripture makes us spiritually sound. Last passage here, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, or chapter 5, sorry. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You probably have heard this a lot. Maybe it's on t-shirts. Don't always know where it's at. Pretty short verse. Verse 7. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." Now, this is used for a few things, and it's obviously true. But when we look at that, did I say chapter 2? 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I'm sorry. 2 Corinthians 5. Okay. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 7. "We walk by faith, not by sight." Okay. Sometimes the questions can be asked, and they're asked in a way, not all the time, but sometimes they're asked in a way to try and defeat the argument that the Holy Spirit can actually help us. There's not always I couldn't probably give you an exact step-by-step time of how the Holy Spirit brought this to remembrance or anything like that, or taught me through this, because I didn't hear his voice in my head, contrary to what people are going to try and say. That's not how he works either. I can't give you necessarily a specific time when he helped me through something, or he helped me learn something, outside of the fact that I kind of clicked. I understood it. But just because you can't specifically detail it out, that this is I was reading here in John chapter 5, and I read this word and boom, I understood what it meant. That's not how the Holy Spirit works. But he says he teaches us. He says the anointing teaches us. He says it's the Spirit of God which we receive to know the thoughts of God. And he revealed those things to us through his Spirit in 1 Corinthians 2. So sometimes, just as I brought this reference before, is that we don't know that our sins are forgiven outside of the fact that he says he forgives our sins when we're immersed. Walking by faith, not walking by sight, is more than just, it's used correctly when it's talking about we're not going to go outside of the Scripture. That's true. But the Scripture says he helps us and teaches us, that he brings things to remembrance. What special things that the New Testament church have over us? Was what Jesus says in John chapter 14 specifically only for people he was talking to there? So does that carry over to everything else then? Now, obviously there's times when the Scripture talks specifically about a certain thing. But when he talks about the apostles and him helping them and teaching them and bringing things to remembrance, that doesn't exclude us. Just because we can't specifically point out a time that the Holy Spirit has done that for us doesn't mean that the Holy Spirit doesn't work in doing that. A lot of times it's having faith that he does. When we're immersed into Christ, just because someone's dunked underwater does not mean that they're correctly immersed. Understanding what he does in that and having faith that he does what he says he's going to do in that immersion, that's faith. A lot of people are dunked underwater. A lot of people say the prayer. If we say a prayer and don't believe that God actually does it, all we're doing is saying words. We're walking by sight, not by faith, because while I said the words, he must be, you know, that's what I said. But if we don't trust that he actually is going to do it, we don't have faith that he's going to do it, it doesn't happen. And the same is true with the Holy Spirit working within us. We know that he helps us renew. We know that we must be renewed. We know that we have been given the Spirit of God to understand the spiritual thoughts or the thoughts of God. He revealed the things that were hidden from everyone else to us. We can't explain a specific time. It doesn't mean he doesn't work. It doesn't mean he doesn't bring remembrance. It doesn't mean he doesn't teach. Sometimes we just have to trust that he is faithful when he says that he is going to do that. And that's how we're going to grow. If we don't believe it to start with, probably not going to get any benefit of it. But if we believe it and in the correct parameters within the scripture that he is not going to teach things according to the scripture, not going to whisper in our ear, not going to see a vision, contrary to what the scripture, say something contrary to what the scripture says, the Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. But he does work, and he does help, and he does teach. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Father, for your Spirit. Father, to help us and to grow, to learn more about you, to help our character, Father, to help us to be a shining light. We thank you, Father, for your word. And Father, I know that maybe sometimes we don't have a specific example that we can think of, Lord, but we know that you are faithful. The one who has spoken, which is you, is faithful and true, and you keep your word. And Father, when we read about you helping us through your Spirit, teaching us through your Spirit, comforting us through your Spirit, Father, we thank you for that because we know that you're going to keep your end of the bargain, Father. You're going to keep your end of the promise. You always keep your promises, and we thank you for that. Father, help us to trust that and to allow your Spirit to work within us. Pray in Jesus' name. Amen.